Today we shall discuss these two kinds of pleasures, sukha, namely jhāsika sukha and avijhāsika sukha. Jhā means the variety, but also jhāsika, mixing or adding. You add something to another, that is avijhāsika. And when you are adding all sorts of things, that is jhāsika. And the pleasure derived out of such phenomena, that is by adding all sorts of things, we know that jhāsika sukha. Pleasures, mixed pleasure, we call it. Pleasure or mixture.
And the result of that is called
jhāsika sukha, a kind of sukha, pleasure,
where nothing is mixed.
It is pleasurable in itself.
ပထမအမျိုးစားကတော့
In our sense that we may take it like this. Jhāsika sukha, the first one, mixed pleasure or pleasure of mixture, it is connected or associated with sense object. Then as the second one, Jhāsika sukha, it's a kind of pleasure, not mixed or connected. It's an object. In all sense, the first one is pleasures of senses, of sensual pleasures, and the second one is pleasure apart from sensual pleasure. Most people have seen the first kind of pleasure, namely jhāsika sukha, thinking that such pleasures are the real ones. And others are considered as uninteresting. When one apprehends a sign, as is given in this expression, one visited wisdom as object comes into the focus of the eye. That means one sees a visible object with the eye. Apprehending the sign, grasping that shape, added with lust, such as, first of all, one sees something as a composite whole. For instance, man sees a woman, and woman sees a man, as a composite whole. And one starts liking it and craving it. That is the first step. Things do not stop there. Instead of stopping there,
one goes into the particulars. That is, seeing and appreciating individual features of the face, limbs and parts of the body, how he has his mind, how he has his feet, and how he or she behaves in his or her manners. So, the first one is the only limit that I have, seeing the signs. As a whole. The second one is a nibjan, the master, grasping or seeing the particular, by which one takes delight, one takes pleasure in enjoying the scene. The painting goes with other sense objects, such as seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, sensing. Such kind of pleasures. A kind of pleasure with lust or craving, maybe the mother, subject to it. And one takes pleasure in it. So we think that this is pleasurable, that is adding lust or craving to it. And such kind of pleasure is known as jhāsika sukha. Leverage at this time, many people know about it. This is jhāsika sukha, pleasure with mixture or mixed pleasure.
That is,
when one sees an observer object, for instance, one sees a visible object,
Mindfulness has already been done, has already been done, as I said, down in the four gates of life, one sees it, then one's own eyes. Before one sees it, one longs, one is long, one has been longing to see. And once one sees, then this craving arises. It's quite obvious, it's correct. But though one sees that, even one sees a visible object, and the normal object, if there's no craving, or at least no defilement of craving, then there'll be no pleasure connected with mixture, and no such pleasure as absolutely possible. Because one will not enjoy it. Although one sees a visible, desirable object, one has no desire, but no defilement, no craving, no taking, so one does not enjoy such kind of pleasure. And there will be another kind of pleasure which is not mixed with
craving or lust. That is
the kind of pleasure
which excels manifold this jhāsika, sukha,
mixed pleasure.
Wise people are the wise
who see such pleasures.
Pleasures which are not mixed with raga or craving.
ကြည့်ကြရတဲ့အကြစားလည်းရှိတော့တယ်အဲ့ဒီသဘောကြီးမှာသူကကြိုက်ကြိုက်ရှိတာဆိုတာမရရင်မရသေးရင်တော့စတယ်လောကကြီးရှင်နေနေတယ်စပါးသွားတ
ယ်ရရင်ကျွမ်းနေ
ဒါကအားဆိုင်ပါလေ
လူယုံလောကကြီးနဲ့
သိလောကကြီးအဖြစ်နေနေမှာမောဟအဲ့ဒီအဲ့ဒီတက်ဆိုရရင်မယောနာတရားကမဆိုင်တာ။အဲ။အရင်ကငါစိတ်ကမစားဆဲနဲ့ခွာဟာလို့ရတယ်လား။အဲ့ဒါကြည့်နေတာဒီတိုင်းပဲ
။ဒီကနေ To give you a very obvious
analogy, when you are going to cook some curry or meat or fish,It's not just eat it as such. You cook it by adding
condiments to it, by seasoning it, then only it will be tasty.
This is in this nature that is jhāsika, sukha, anatta. Before one sees or apprehends it, or one grasps it, there will be longing, but also it's a lack of craving, and when one gets it,
one holds
on to it, a strong form of craving, grasping. And there will arise many all sorts of defilements and abilities, such as illusion,
you can believe it, not knowing the truth of the nature, truth of object, true nature of object,
and not being ashamed or not fearing. Morally, in spiritual sense. And because you are not able to activate your mindfulness to be anchored from all the attention, also there will be restlessness. And this way, all sorts of duties are bound to occur. You will take it, you will calculate it in terms of time factor, and once again per group, once per second, you can calculate how many kinds of how many, to what quantity of defilement will arise, what amount of defilement will arise in 1 minute and so on. So it is mixed with defilement, so here it is. Before one sees or apprehends it, there will be longing to that, and when one sees it, there will be grasping or clinging. If object is undesirable, then you'll be angry with it, have the anger inward, you become upset in the sight of undesirable objects. And this is the kind of pressure that you are getting or arising. It's mixed with defilement. Hence, such kind of pressure is impure. And hence, the name Samesa, Sukha. And because it is impure, it is impure. The Samesa Sukha means mixed pressure. And because it is impure, it is known as Abhisoda Sukha, impure pleasure, which is this Yajita Sukha, mixed pleasure, or pleasure of mixture.
As regards this Abhyasika Sukha, the second one, unmixed pleasure, this is the result of the cultivation of the mind, the practice of the restraint of faculties, the faculty of eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and so on, without indulging in them, not leaving them, not free-willing with them, not leaving them uncontrolled, not indulging in them. Instead, one controls these faculties, especially the eye and ear are more important than other faculties, other senses, because other senses rarely arise. They rarely arise. It's most more important are the eye and ear faculties. So this is known as Indriya Samvara, restraint of faculties. There are six faculties to be controlled, to be restrained. So if one is practicing restraint, then one is practicing this Indriya Samvara. One will not see freely without any restraint. If you see without any restraint or hear without any restraint, then you may be seeing inappropriate things, leading to inappropriate attitude, inappropriate mentality. So one should be able to control it. When one sees, one should be able to control, practice the restraint. Just as you practice the way of Satipatthana, in the spirit of Satipatthana, you guard your mind with vigilant mindfulness of every arising, seeing, hearing, tasting, touching. And this activating of mindfulness is the practice of Indriya Samvara, the strain of faculties. Though in the beginning it may not be any difference, there will be no difference, there may not be any difference in the beginning, but when you make it a practice, you become experienced in the practice of mindfulness, and so that you become well established in mindfulness. So this is more than ordinary mindfulness, ordinary attention, but it's a fixed. This is more than ordinary mind. Hence it is known as adhicitta, adhicitta. That is none other than samadhi, concentration. So this kind of pleasure arises out of concentration, or pleasure with concentration, which is abhyasika sukha. If one is able to note effectively, in order to activate one's mindfulness on the object of attention, taking an aim at the object to be noticed, this is known as vitakka aiming. This is one of the factors of absorption, jhana. So that this is good thoughts, vitakka, wholesome thoughts, so that there will be no unwholesome thoughts at that moment. There will be no unwholesome thoughts such as kama vitakka, thoughts of sense pleasures, wishing, thinking about enjoyment, thinking about enjoying the pleasures of senses. There will be no such thing. kama vitaka at that moment. And also there will be no anger, ill will in respect of undesirable object. There will be no dosa. This is vyapara vitaka. There's no thoughts of ill will. And then there will be no thoughts of harm, vihinsa vitaka. Because you are noting, you are thinking correctly, vitaka, as much as you are noting the object, activity, mindfulness, there will be no such unwholesome thoughts. So as much as there's aiming, and also not only aiming, not only focusing, but you are exerting energy, virya, in order to reach the object to be noted, that is the driving force, resulting in activated mindfulness. And as you are being able to activate this mindfulness, there will be this repeatedly, you are should be practicing indriya samvara, restraint of faculties, as regards seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, and so on. And then there will be, the mind will be concentrated, that is avikaya or samadhi, the kind of concentration which is not distracted from the object to be noted. Instead, it falls calm and collected on the object of attention, giving rise to what is known as momentary concentration, kalika samadhi. You are practicing in order to gain this kalika samadhi, momentary concentration. In this way, because of this vidaka, good thoughts, aiming, taking an aim at the object, there will be, you will be free of metta vidaka, wrongful thoughts. And then, because of this exertion of energy, you are not accepting the defilements, and you are said to be abandoning by not accepting these impurities. Instead, you are leaving the mind, leaving the way open to wholesome deeds. And there will be only wholesome deeds led by mindfulness. And this kind of wholesome deeds will flow like a current, leading to the momentary concentration, kalika samadhi. This is good practice. And then the kind of concentration which is associated with it is known as aditya-citta. In essence, it is concentration samadhi, as the mind falls calm and collected on object to be noted. Just think of it at that very moment. Can there be any lust or craving about desirable object? There cannot be. Can there be any ill will or anger about undesirable object? There cannot be. So we'll be free of these impurities such as craving or aversion. And you'll be free of abheja dominasa, abheja covetousness, and dominasa, ill will, mental distress, and they will not have a chance to arise in your stream of consciousness. You are said to be free from these unwholesome thoughts, unwholesome mental states. There will be no raga, no lust or craving, no dosa, no anger, and no other unavailing impurities. And then you are seeing later in the course of the practice, you will progress along the path, seeing the nature of the objects very clearly, beginning with the discernment of mind and body, and the conditionality, and the universal interlocking characteristics of phenomena. So there will be, at that moment, there will be no raga, lust or craving about desirable objects, neither will there be any anger, ill will about undesirable object. Your mind becomes pure, which is followed by the rapturous feeling, leading to the feeling of well-being and mental happiness. This such is abhyasika sukha, unmixed pleasure, which is the kind of pleasure which is not mixed with impurities. Because it is not mixed in this way, it is known as as a mixed asuka, unmixed pleasure. And because it's unmixed, it is pure pleasure known as parisodha sukha.
In the
in order to control the faculties, indriya, one make a practice so that one becomes experienced in the practice, and as much as one makes the practice, this restraint of faculties will become stronger and more purified. And whatever you see, hear, taste, touch, and all these sense impressions, you'll be able to note, know very well, and as much as you're able to note so as to overcome them, this indriya samvara, the state of faculty, will become better and better. So that you become free of the main undermining elements, namely greed, hatred. These things tend to pull you down, whereas the mind, as a result of the restraint of faculty, will be uplifted. You'll be taken up, you'll be uplifted. So these are the main impurities, namely abhijja, covetousness, which is manifested as greed, and dominasa, mental grief or distress, manifested as anger, dosa. All these things are known as pāpādhamma, unmanning elements, and you become free of these unmanning elements as you activate your mindfulness and make a practice of it. With one stroke of mindfulness, you will be free one stroke, and in 1 minute, 60 times, in 1 hour, 3,600 times, is very significant. You become free, you'll be able to overcome these unmanning elements, pāpādhamma, unwholesome things. And there will arise only a deep chaitta, extraordinary mind, in a sense, which is manifested as concentration samadhi, which exhales ordinary mind. It's a high quality mind or concentration. And you gain the experience in this practice of cultivating this extraordinary mind, known as Adhisattva Chitta Nu Yoga. And once you come into possession of it, you are gaining or you're enjoying the pleasure of this extraordinary mind, which is concentration. Hence, it is pleasure derived from concentration, or pleasure of concentration. Adhicaita sukha.
Yunyo pokuri mara. Guru indriya samara alijya mishi, alijya gong mishi ya pokuri mara.
For ordinary folks who are not practicing the strain of faculties, indriya samara, they will long for objects, desirable objects, wishing to see, hear, taste, touch, and so on, which are impurities. You are said to be entertaining these impurities. And once you apprehend them, you get them, you come to possess them, you want more and more, you take delight in it, you enjoy it, this kind of pleasure is mixed with raga, lust, or craving. When you don't like it, when the object is undesirable, you become depressed. Not only angry, you are depressed. And this dosa has two kinds. One is anger, which is a positive aspect of anger, and another thing is negative aspect of ill will, namely depression, become depressed, low-spirited, or downhearted. These things become obvious as regards desirable, undesirable objects. And this happens in ordinary folks who are not practicing this restraint of faculties, indriya samvara. If, however, one is able to cultivate this indriya samvara, the restraint of faculties, these main undermining elements will not come to you. You'll be free from that. And there'll be only pure purity of mentality, such as rapturous feeling, happiness, which exhales manifold, the jasika sukha, mixed pleasure, or pleasure of mixture. Sometimes this kind of pleasure is good in itself and is unforsakable.
Punabhyas,
This Vyasakasuka also can be given as another rendering of Vedidyasuka, which we discussed yesterday, a kind of pleasures which arise out of contact with six sense objects. And if one is able to practice the restraint of faculties, become established in it, and calm the undermining elements, great hatred, and gaining pleasure, this also something like when you're practicing mundane absorptions, Lodhya Jhanas. You are subduing, calming these impurities. This also can be included under Vedida Sukha. That means pleasures with sense objects. This is also a kind of pleasure with objects, sense objects. Only when there is no pleasure of senses, non-sensory pleasure, can be called Adhyasika Sukha, Avedita Sukha. As we discussed yesterday about the question and answer between Elder Asatik Udayin and Elder Sariputta about Nibbana, when the Buddha was saying repeatedly, Nibbana Sukha, Nibbana Sukha, Nibbana is pleasurable, Nibbana is pleasurable. So Udayin asked his question to Elder Sariputta, when there is no feeling there, Vedana, how can you call this pleasure? There's no feeling, no sensation. So can you call it? How can you call this pleasure? So at that, Elder Buddha replied that absence of feeling in itself is this kind of pleasure. So people, most people think that only when you mix raga, craving or lust, the sense objects will won't be able to enjoy real pleasures. But those who are not satisfied with such kind of pleasure, which is mixed with raga, so they practice not to reach the stage, not to go back to raga, not to go back to sense objects mixed with raga. So they practice this adhisaita, this extraordinary mind, which is manifested as concentration samadhi, and they are able to concentrate the mind and gain the pleasure, which is born of concentration, which excels manifold the pleasures of senses or sense of pleasures. Then one comes to understand that, and one is afraid of going back to this kind of pleasure with senses. Just like when one is practicing mundane jhanas, and when one is practicing first jhana, one cultivates vitaka, and when one is coming to, after having practiced first jhana, one does not wish to cultivate vitaka, and one considers that coming to the first factor, namely vitaka, is like a sore or a wound or an injury. So they practice second jhana, which is free of vitaka or visara even. And they do not wish to go back to these factors in the vitaka visara when they are practicing or cultivating the second jhana. And when it comes to third jhana, they want to be free of piti, pleasure, because third jhana is free of piti, and they consider coming back to piti as something undesirable. And when they are practicing the fourth jhana, which is free of sukha, this kind of sukha also is a vedita sukha, pleasure with senses. Senses in this case are sense of his jhana. So at this jhana, fourth jhana, they do not wish to go back to sukha, and they consider sukha as undesirable. In this way, it goes on stages by stages, becoming free of these challenge factors, and they do not wish to go back to practice these challenge factors, so that they progress along this absorption jhana, various stages of jhana. Same thing goes with the practice of meditation, satipatthana. The yogis are afraid of coming back to these thoughts of sense pleasures, and they have moral shame and moral fear. They're afraid of it, they're fearful of it, they're conscious of coming back to or thinking about sense pleasures, because they are gaining the pleasures of Dhamma or Dhamma delights, Dhamma pleasure. And they do not, they consider these causes for sense pleasures as undesirable. And that's why those people who are absorbed in attainment of extinction, Nirodha Samapatti, they are realizing the kind of pleasure with the absence of mind and body. There will be no feeling at that time, feeling of senses. And there is no feeling of senses, sense pleasures in respect of mind and body. There will be no mental, physical pleasures in this kind of absorption, Nirodha Samapatti. And such kind of pleasure also can be called Avidita Sukha, pleasure without sense objects. And if you go farther than that, when you realize or attain Nirvana and be absorbed in the fruition of attainment, this also can be called Avidita Sukha, pleasures without senses or non-sensate pleasure. Yogis who are practicing respectfully and continuously, they are bound to activate their mindfulness in an extraordinary manner, so that they will be able to enjoy this Dhamma Rati, Dhamma delight, such as rapturous feeling, happiness, bliss in my stages. This is known as Dhamma Rati, Dhamma Rati, which excels many four Dhamma Rati, that is sense of delight. Then they will come to detest going back to sense delights, kamarati, and they will detest missing or losing their mindfulness, which because they are realizing, experiencing this dramatic life which excels manifold the sense of delight, because which become undesirable. So seeing the flaws, disadvantages of sense of delight, and they see the disadvantages. They come to see the disadvantages by comparison, which I continue tomorrow.